Hey, welcome to the Indie Film Review. I'm Jared. Dan is with me as always. Hey,
Dan. That is correct. I am always with you.
And here on the show, we like to review independent films.
We do, but Jared, before we get into the podcast proper, I think we need to, you know, heat things up like we used to.
Okay, sure. What's going on?
I'm just going to put my finger right up in
Oh my god, I just realized what you were doing, and I think the podcast is over. How do I turn the podcast off? Hold on, where's the podcast off button? There we go. That is a reference to a film we watched called Softness of Bodies.
Softness of Bodies.
I believe it's 2018 it came out?
Yeah, 2018 it came out for sure. And this is a direct sequel to The Hardness of... what's the opposite of bodies?
Opposite of bodies? Corporeal spirits.
Yes, yes. Hardness of corporeal spirits.
We are fucking killing it already. Holy shit.
No. It's a...
We are so good at reviewing movies.
Independent feature. It is directed by Jordan Belady, or yes. Jordan Belady, or Jordan Belady. One
Jordan,
of those.
Won't you be my lady tonight?
Pick one of those. Pick the right one, but pick one
and,
of them.
And starring Dasha Nebrasova.
Necrasova.
Necrasova. Yeah, Dasha Necrasova. That's a super cool last name. I like that because it reminds you of like a necromancy type of deal. And I'm
yeah, maybe
nerd,
she so dabbles in that free time.
Yeah, I think everyone's last name is like a thing that they do. Like if you're like John Baker, like you're obviously a baker because
yeah,
that's your last name. Anyways, Dan, why don't you give us a 30-second synopsis slash pitch, if you will, of Softness of Bodies.
Well, before I do that, I just want to make sure that everybody realizes that Jared and I's last name are podcaster extraordinaire.
That's right. We're both brothers. We're the podcaster extraordinaire brothers, and it's not weird.
We high five all the time. All right, so
we do. This probably more than we should.
This film is about a young woman who is an American. She is on a artist visa, and she's living in Berlin, and she's trying to make it as a poet. And she ends up, you know, kind of being relatively successful. She applies for a grant, and she actually gets it. She doesn't get it. She has to retry out for it. Like, she has to... That's the good news of the film. But then there's a lot of bad news in the film because she has an affair with somebody, and... you know, shit happens because of that as well.
Yeah, she has like 2 weeks to write another poem for the big showdown, I guess, with the grant people to see if she's going to win.
And
this,
the softness of bodies is a line in the final poem.
Oh my god. And it's something I kind of wanted to talk to you about at the end of the film.
Yes.
But Dan, let's do questions.
Correct.
Do you have a question for me, good sir?
Maybe. This is right off the top of my head.
Sure,
so
yeah.
Forgive me if it's not a good question, but, Jared, do you like poetry?
You know what? It's not something I go to seek out, like... If there was like a poetry slam or something, I don't know if I would be interested in going to it. But I will say the poetry in this film is actually really good. A lot of it was good. I actually did enjoy it. Especially the poetry coming from the main lead, who is Charlotte Parks. Or sometimes they call her Charlie. And that's Dasha's character. I thought the poetry in this film was actually, again, like, you know. I didn't go, like I normally, you know, when I make that sound at things I don't like, Dan.
Yeah.
Like if I see like a man like walking a raccoon or something, I go, ugh. Actually, I'd probably like that.
I know, I was going to say, what's wrong with that?
I don't know. Anyways, do you like poetry?
Yeah, I love poetry. I mean, I think I like, you know, I like to consider, you know, songs and stuff poetry, and I'm really always into the lyrics and what they mean and what they could mean. I like how open to interpretation poetry is in terms of studying literature, but mm-hmm. I do know that it's a very difficult thing to take, not to take seriously, but to be good at, I think. I've written songs before, and, you know, some of them really suck. Others are like, God damn, how did I even do that? You know, it's like, it just kind of happens, and it's really cool whenever it happens organically.
Like, I like that poem they did later on in the film about the owl and the lamppost, but I didn't even know what it was until they described what it was.
Right.
Because there's like a group of people critiquing the poems. It's like a little powwow they're having with other poets. And I was like, oh, okay. All right, I get it. But like, while they were telling it, I was like, I don't know what this is, but I'm enjoying it. It's kind of fun. How do you feel about the main character in this movie?
Well,
like, were you rooting for her?
No,
I guess?
She is not likable at all. I cannot stand people like her. It's this bewildered youth that think they, you know how the world works, and they're out to chase their dreams without having any kind of glimpse of responsibility in their life at all. And they just kind of go with the flow and be like, yep, that's how it works. And I'm so confident in my ability of being a human being. But in all truthfulness, I'm a fucking dumbass millennial who, I don't know.
No, I get what you mean. She is very narcissistic, and it's even stated in the film. And very entitled. She feels like...
That's what it is. I hate entitlement.
Everything should just be given to her. She doesn't understand why she has to work hard or
so
do
I guess
anything for any of the stuff that she
because,
thinks she's owed.
Because we're millennials, I would kind of label the last millennials / Gen Z. These are the ones that are growing up with no... Because we're millennials, and like I have a very strong sense of responsibility. We have a strong work ethic. But, you know, the future is grim in terms of youth, I think. But that's an opinion.
No, because I don't know. I don't like to put people in boxes. I don't even like to use the term millennial or whatever. Maybe like as a joke sometimes. But like I don't like to define young kids as like you are all this thing. Because everyone, I think, individually is different. And like not all people are like this girl, but there are people who are like this character.
Yeah,
and I think that's kind of where they were drawing from.
Yeah, I mean, like I'm speaking kind of from experience because I teach high school, and I have to deal with all of those type of narcissistic entitled personalities all the fucking time, and I have a few choice words. Most of them can be aligned with the word stupid, but you know,
but a lot of those kids like that, even if like we might have even felt that way when we were younger, you kind of grow out of that.
But they got to do it fast.
Yeah.
Better do it
but
fast.
But like this
man.
Character, it just seems like she's never had real adversity.
Yeah, exactly.
Until this film, and then when adversity has finally happened, she's like, why is everything bad happening to me? And you're like, because you caused all of the bad problems.
So.
And
one thing that I forgot to mention in the plot description, which I feel like is kind of relevant to what we're talking about, is she's a kleptomaniac. She steals things a lot, and it gets her
maybe even
trouble.
Her poetry. Like it is heavily implied that she's not even writing her own poetry, which I like how they kept that kind of ambiguous, because there's just this girl, Sylvie, who is accusing her of stealing, but you don't really ever find out, even though there's a clear shot. Like, Sylvie says, like, your poetry sounds like this famous person, this famous poet. And then in the next scene, Dasha is reading from the book of that person.
Yeah,
you see it, and you're like, okay, does this mean that she really is stealing?
Now, I have a question.
Sure.
So we've kind of already established that she is not somebody who's likable, right?
Mm-hmm.
But think about the rivalry between Sylvie and Dasha, right?
Yeah.
Or not Dasha, Charlotte. I could care less about either one of them. They're both, like, really annoying, whiny little, like, annoying people. I don't know
how else, like... funny. Was there any character that you liked in this movie?
Not really. They all were kind of irredeemable to me.
You know what it is?
The ex-boyfriend, Oliver, yeah. I did not like him at all. Because he's just as ditzy and stupid as she is.
Yeah.
But he's, like, he thinks with his penis... I didn't like the character that she's having a fling with. The only one I can remotely say I did like was the gay roommate, but he even had things that I'm like, dude, you're annoying. Like, I wouldn't want to be your roommate.
What was interesting is, like, all of the characters are bad. Like, none of these characters are any kind of, like, hero archetype that you can get behind.
Right.
But I still think the writer... who is the director, I believe.
Yeah,
same person as Jordan. What he did is he almost got like a balance of like, these are bad characters, but then you kind, I don't know, I was kind of like rooting for them and caring about them at certain points. And then he would remind you how awful they are. And you're
That happens
quite a bit. I hate these characters. Because like they get into situations and where you're like, if that happened to you, you'd be like, oh no.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you're like, oh wait, I hate them.
And then at the very end, like it's just par for the course. Like nothing changes.
At the very end.
Nobody learns anything.
But that's what's amazing about this movie.
Yeah.
So I was reading reviews on this film and a lot of people were getting upset because there wasn't any real character arc for the characters. And I think that's kind of the point.
That is the point, like, because
it's... Go ahead.
What I feel is happening is he's making a, you know, this kind of window into these types of people's lives.
Yeah, it's
like,
a character
study,
right?
There is no such thing as repercussions for these people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they just get off scot-free with everything, and they just keep coasting through life and have no kind of discipline to anchor themselves down with.
Yeah, this doesn't fit your classic narrative of, you know, like, hero fights adversity or whatever, and then the character arc, maybe they change along the way, I don't know, maybe they stop beating their wife. You're like, you know what, I should stop beating my wife, that's like a not good thing to do, and then he gets the girl at the end. Like, that doesn't happen.
And then maybe Ganondorf?
Ganondorf is right. What does Ganondorf do?
He fights Balrog and
yeah,
falls down the cliff.
That's right. And he wins the street fighting tournament.
Not that Balrog.
You shall not uppercut me!
You shall not Hadouken!
This is the best crossover reference we've ever made. Holy shit. Super hyped about that. I love Lord of the Rings Street Fighter. That's...
And a little bit of Zelda in there, because I called him Ganon.
Again, we could just end the podcast, and this would be perfect. Like, we've met the quota. All the numbers are checked. We've done it. I'm going to take a drink. Celebratory drink right now. Victory. So, yes, I liked the play of you're not really supposed to like these characters, but they're in situations that you care about.
Yeah.
I guess we're kind of like, we're going to get into spoilers now, guys. So if you'd like to watch this movie, Amazon is where I saw it.
I would recommend it. What really sold it to me is it's even less than an hour and 20 minutes, and it pretty much tells a decent story, you know, within that time frame. Like,
I was enamored with the film the entire time, despite the fact that
I don't like the characters, it was an engaging narrative, and it was, it told a great story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I was super into it the whole time. I was like, where is this going to go? What's going to happen? And I felt like everything... So yes, we are going to spoil it. Please watch this movie. I think everyone should watch The Softness of Bodies. It was really fun. I enjoyed it.
And you think it might sound a little erotic. It's not very erotic. Like, it has the typical... Well, it just has, like...
That one fingering scene you referenced in the beginning.
Yeah.
With the, this is how we warm up. That was kind of hot to me.
Yeah, I did skip
through
that one.
To me, it doesn't... Like, I mean... I don't know. Maybe I like,
do
fingering.
I really want to sit through somebody getting fingered? I'm like, no, not really.
Anyways. Hey, different strokes for different folks, okay?
Yeah.
So we're going to spoil it. Go watch it. I want to try to read some of this review that this guy wrote on IMDb because I disagree with it. But I just kind of want us to hear like a different take on the film, I guess. And it kind of talks about the film, about like what's going on. Okay. Story with strings attached. This is a movie about a girl that is obviously mentally disturbed, okay, in a manner that made it impossible for me to relate to her. And so he says that, and it is hard to relate to her, but it's easy to relate to the situations that she gets herself into. And that's what I think the film is going for. Most of the scenes seem forced by the author and don't give you the feeling of watching a real chain of events. Dan, do you agree or disagree with this?
I can see what he means by that, but
okay.
That just means, that tells me more about the reviewer than the film.
I only see that in one particular spot where, most of the movie, after she shoplifts and gets caught, which is a great scene, she has to go to the police station, and they're like, hey, listen, you have to pay 800 euro or you're going to go to jail. So the rest of the film, she's trying to get money from everybody, which is really funny. Just like begging everyone for money, not caring who she gets it from or what she has to do. And she actually does kind of have some morals in this, or like some lines she won't cross. Like she won't have sex with that one poetry leader guy, you know, in exchange for the money. So she has some like standards in a sense. So then when she gets mugged at the end, when she finally gets all the money, I mean, she's also not... she also takes that dude's money anyways. Yeah, for sure. She flip-flops a lot. She took some of his money because he felt so bad about trying to make a pass at her. He's like, listen, here, just take 300 euro. Let's just pretend that never happened, because it was a really awkward scene.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, really? Takes it immediately. Doesn't even think about it. She's like, cool. Yeah, I'll take this. So she gets robbed, loses all of her money, and then... the person who shows up there is she's dating this guy, Franz. But Franz is married to this really rich lady.
Mm-hmm.
And she knows that this guy, Franz, is dating this rich woman. And throughout the whole film, all she wants is, like, for Franz to be single, to dump her wife so they can be together.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's her big thing. She wants to be in a relationship, blah, blah, blah. But earlier in the film, this woman punches her in the face because she finds out that they were having an affair.
Because she stole her shoes. Bad,
yeah. Yeah. She has to get like a new tooth and stuff. She steals her fucking shoes, and that's what kind of clues her in on somebody was in my house, what happened, or whatever. Because she's a kleptomaniac, as we discussed. So she gets robbed. The ex lover of Franz shows up again to apologize to her, and she sees that happen, like her getting robbed. She's like, "Oh no, how can I help? Are you okay?" And they sit down, and they kind of have a heart to heart. And she's like, listen, I just want to apologize for punching you. And you're like, oh, is this like an actual good, like the only good character in this movie?
Nope.
Where you're like, hey, she like felt bad about what she did? No. She invites her to her house, the ex lady. She's like, you want to go to my house and drink? And I'm like, this is where the story was, where this guy in this review was talking about, like, it kind of didn't make sense how it connected. I have no idea why, like, this connection in the story didn't make any sense to me. It's just like, sure, I'm going to just invite the person who was sleeping with my husband. Unless, Dan, did she just really want those shoes back?
That's what it turned into. She's like, by the way, those are my favorite shoes.
Yeah. She's like, let's do drugs, let's do this, I'm going to get drunk. And then she wouldn't let the main character leave. Yeah, because she wanted those fucking shoes. And then, big spoilers, she gets pushed down, the ex. Like, the main character pushes her down, and she hits her head and dies. And what does she do, Dan?
She runs away.
She takes the money.
Takes the money, yes.
And leaves, doesn't call the cops, then tries to hide the evidence that she had the shoes, and then that shit gets blamed on her ex, on Franz.
On Franz.
So Franz gets blamed, the person that she wanted to spend the rest of her life with, the main character. And she's like, doesn't give a shit about. She's totally fine with framing this guy with murder.
Yeah. Only, I don't think it's, it's different because she didn't mean to do that. It just happened. Yes. Like, life tends to fall in these types of people's laps. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't have to do shit. They just go with the flow, and then they're like, oh, it's gonna be not blamed on me? Okay, I'll just run with that then. Mm-hmm. And it has nothing to do with any sort of malice. It's just like, well, not my fault anymore. And they just, they go with it.
She says that she doesn't care about a lot of things, and that is, like, she only cares about herself. Everything else does not matter to her.
Yes.
So there's an amazing, amazing scene where she is sitting in a room with Franz, who has been arrested, and they're in, she's in, like, he's in jail or whatever, and she's visiting him, and he's like, I don't know what I'm gonna do, I'm getting charged for this murder, and I didn't do it, and he's like, are you gonna help me, like, what's going on, this is insane, and she goes, yeah, you know, my life's pretty crazy too, I still haven't wrote anything for this poem, and I have only, like, one more day to write it, and he's like, are you actually bringing this up right now?
Yep.
Like, why are you talking about your stupid poem right now? Like, I'm in jail. And then she just goes, oh, I'm sorry. Like, she just, like, doesn't even realize that she's being a psychopath. It's the epitome of the film. It's perfect.
Yeah. There's another scene that kind of reminds me of that, where she is up in front of the judge in the court system, and she has written out her deposition. And the mm-hmm. deposition is being interpreted into German by the interpreter. And the The judge is just listening to it. And what the deposition says is, I only stole those clothes because of the capitalistic mind frame where, like, you know, my stupid teenage brain thinks that I need it and I don't have the means to get it. Therefore, mm-hmm. it's the system's fault that I stole it. And it's like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, yeah. Seriously. It's like, it's more of a crime. A crime is also happening to me, is basically what she was trying to say. And I'm like, that is crazy. Oh, it's so out of control.
People think like that. Like, oh my God, I can... I won't go into detail. I won't go into detail, but I personally know somebody who is exactly like this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I've met people like this, where you talk to them and they only talk about themselves. And, like, you just think, like, I could just get up and walk away and this person might just keep talking.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. It's scary. And that's what I like about this film.
Well, because here's
the deal. It's showing you a character study of people like that.
A little bit more insight into it is, you know, it's a character study into people like that. But the person that I'm talking about specifically in my life and why it's, like, so crazy that this film came, like, onto our laps, basically, is mm-hmm. it's a destructive behavior and it affects a lot of people around us, basically.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's terrible. So, okay. Softness of bodies. I watched a little interview with Jordan, the director and writer, and the lead actor of this film, and Dasha. And they were kind of being interviewed by this guy, going back and forth, and it seems like it was almost like a collaborative thing where they got together and they wanted to make a film together, and they wanted to use their experiences being, like, writers, actors, or whatever, in L.A., being artists in L.A., mm-hmm. and then also Jordan had done a stint in Berlin, like, the artist stint where you go and do this. He actually did this. So he's taking real experiences from that and from their time in L.A. and putting it all together and making this just, like, insane character that they came up with mm-hmm. from, like, real people that they've met, which I thought was so interesting to me. Yeah,
that is interesting.
That, like, these are the people that you get surrounded by. And you almost kind of think, like, these are the people who would make great art.
Yeah.
People who are just so self-absorbed. And,
here's the thing.
Think about, like, Salvador Dali. I'm sure he was not a well-adjusted human being.
Jared, the individual that I keep referring to is an amazing artist.
Yeah. So, I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You kind of have to be out of your mind to think this way and make such, like, profound things. So, I don't know. But the big kicker in this is that this artist is a thief.
Yes.
And also, again, like, the big word of today, the secret word, is entitlement.
Well, you know? I feel like, I don't know, you don't have the TikTok app, but TikTok is all about thievery and
yeah,
supporting thievery. Like, you come up with an idea, like, there might be one original video, and then all of a sudden, like, 50 million people copy that video and think it's okay. And yep, it's like, yep, we have, like, it's the same mentality behind sampling, it's the same mentality behind, you know, covering songs and getting money for covering songs. It's like, you can't necessarily do that. There is intellectual property here, and I did like how they left the idea of intellectual property theft ambiguous in the film.
Yes.
Like, it's definitely concrete that she steals things, but we don't know if she's stealing ideas.
Yes, like,
we are left to assume.
Yeah. You're not sure if she is building off of things that she's read, which is, like, what everyone does.
Yeah.
Or if she is, like, directly cribbing from them. Unless you actually know these poems.
Or, like, I freaking know these poems. If she is directly cribbing from them, or she might think that she's building off of it, and she, like, you know,
yeah,
she doesn't know any better.
And she also fools all the people at the meeting, like, the big thing at the end, because I don't, like, they cut away, but it seems like they're into it. Yeah. I'm not sure if they think that she's, like, that's left open. And she rides off into the sunset, happy as can be. Like, it's the
she
very first
rides
season
off
of the film.
Onto the sunset. Okay, at one point in the film, she sold her bike because she needed the money. And she gets, like, 300 euros for it, or 250 euros. And at the end of the movie, as she walks out of this auditorium, she's in, she sees that very bike that she sold. Mm-hmm. And the person who took the bike didn't change the combination. So she tried the old combination and it worked, and she just stole her bike back.
Yep.
Ridiculous.
It's so funny. Oh, so I can see how this film would make people mad. Because they're like, I hate this character. I hate everything about it. But in that way, I don't know, I kind of enjoyed it. Just the absurdity of this type of person.
I didn't like the character either, but what I started to look at it as is, like, it's kind of like a cry for help for this generation, almost.
Yeah!
It's like, we are spiraling out of control, and we don't know how to tether ourselves to the world.
Yeah. Here's what I imagine, is an actual narcissist seeing this movie, and then maybe recognizing some of that in themselves, like, wait a minute. Or they'd be like, oh, I don't see what's wrong with this film. This character's great.
Yeah.
What do you mean? She really fights through adversity. Like, what's going on?
Ridiculous.
All right, so that's probably our final thoughts. Dan, do you have any recommendations you want to talk about?
So, I haven't finished it yet, but I'm really enjoying Truth Seekers, but at the same time, I'm kind of critical of it. Truth Seekers, for those you don't know, it's the new Simon Pegg, Nick Frost vehicle that they wrote, or they co-wrote with two other people.
And I was kind of excited about that, and then, I don't know, I kind of heard mixed things, so.
So, here's my take on it. It has a lot of really cool fucked up things in terms of horror, and it has a lot of good jokes, but I feel like the film would have worked better as, or the series would have worked better as a film. Like, it feels like a film instead of, like, these kind of 30-minute filler scenes and shit like that. But, you know,
gotcha.
Malcolm McDowell's in it, and he is fantastic.
Malcolm McDowell?
Oh, my God. It's so good. Nick Frost and Simon Pegg are stellar, as always. Everybody, and I don't remember the actors' names, but they have, all of them are great. But the story itself is not series-worthy. It's more like a film, I think.
Gotcha. Interesting. Yeah, I thought it was going to be a movie at first. But I don't know. What's it on? What are you watching it on?
Prime. It's Prime Video. It's Amazon Prime? It's an original. Amazon original. Ooh.
Gotcha. Okay, so a film I watched recently that I really liked, and this seems like a new trend right now in Hollywood, which is pretty cool. I'm really liking it. Where they're doing a lot of prominent African-American leads, mm-hmm. where all of the main leads are African-American. It's great. I'm super down for this. Get Out, I feel like, really opened a door, finally, mm-hmm. where they're wait a minute, we could watch a film with black people in it, and it's good? Okay. So, that's good.
Yeah.
I like that. So this movie is called His House. It came out this year. It is a Netflix original. Ooh. It's done by Remy Weeks, and it is fantastic. It is up in the caliber of Get Out in terms of how much I enjoyed it and the themes of it. And it's about this family, this refugee couple moves from South Sudan, and it's like warring there. There are like two warring factions there. And they come to Britain to escape all of that. And it's their struggles, like, going there and adjusting, but something from where they came from followed them. Like, trauma or something evil has followed them from the war-torn country that they came from, and it is haunting them. So it's, like, the past trauma of death and like, all the terrible things they had to go through is, like, manifested and is, like, attacking them.
That sounds
awesome. Really freaking good, Dan. It's really freaking good. That's all I'll say about it. It's fantastic. I recommend it to everyone. It's called His House. Yeah, so go see it. Anyways, Dan, let's wrap up the show. I think that's the end of it.
Yes, you can find us on Instagram. I'm doing Instagram first, at Indie Film
That's
Review
right,
Pod.
Baby.
You can find us on Twitter, at Indie Film Pod. You can email us at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com.
Nice. Necropodicon is the name of the site that we are affiliated with. A lot of good people over there. Go to necropodicon.com and click on the link to the Discord, and you can come talk to us on Discord, baby girl. A lot of really fun podcasts over there, you know. If you enjoy ours, you'll probably enjoy something else over there. I mean, there's like tons of... It's more than just movie review stuff. Like, they have a lot of other things. That you could probably get into, like D&D and horror podcasts and stuff like that. So there's like lots of stuff you can check out. Really spoopy stuff. Okay, Dan.
Yes.
I want to thank you for being a part of this.
I welcome. You're welcome.
But also, do you have like 800 euro I could borrow from you? I'll suck your dick.
Okay.
All right, I gotta suck Dan's dick. Dan, you have the final word.
Yeah, so everybody knows that a good rigorous workout has both a warm up but a cool down. So we're gonna cool down here, and I'm just gonna stick my finger in.
Oh no!
Hey, I'm Brad, and if you like D&D, and fantasy stories with lots of magic, adventure, strange beasts, and oddball characters, and comedians with New Zealand accents, then oh boy, have I got just the show for you. The Fate of Isin is a podcast that has, wait for it, all of those things. Remember those things I mentioned? It's got all of them! Now go listen to The Fate of Isin, because it's good, and you deserve good things. Fate of Isin. A proud member of the Necropodicon Network.
Necropodicon. Hard to pronounce, easy to listen.